Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon on this Friday, June 9th. June 10th. Welcome all. I want to welcome all my brothers and sisters to this Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you've been enjoying the series. I have been enjoying the series, and I know that God has been speaking to us through His Word. We're looking at the mixing, polluting of the Church of Thyatira. This is found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. Let us pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we draw near to you. We come to your table to feast on this wonderful manna from Heaven. We come, Lord, with great expectation, knowing that you feed us and you feed us bountifully. You feed us to satisfaction. You feed us, Lord, and we are content. We need not go anywhere else for spiritual manna but to you. Thank you, Lord, for the manna that came down from heaven, which was Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the ultimate manna of God. We thank you, Lord, for his life, his ministry, his sacrifice, and his soon return. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, as always, we surrender the reins of this time together to you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Impart truth. bring forth illumination, give us understanding, because we know that if we follow the Spirit of God, whom Jesus said he would send, he would lead us and guide us to all truth. We pray for grace for its leaders and its members. We pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us all. And we pray for St. Johnsville. We pray for that village. We pray for everyone who lives in St. Johnsville. We pray that you, O Lord, would send a revival that would not only affect St. Johnsville, but all the regions round about, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yesterday we saw how the pastor of the Church of Thyatira was a half-baked minister, willing to do some things that were required of him in the ministry. For example, in verse 19 of Revelation 2, Jesus says, "I know your works," plural. Jesus is well acquainted with what the pastor was doing there, and the pastor was a hardworking man. Jesus also says, "I know about your love, your charity. I know about the kinds of services that you render, the many different kinds of services that you render to the members of the church. I know of your faith, how you're always looking to God for help and strength and guidance. I know of your faith because of your prayers. I know of your patience, how you've been at it for a long time, like a patient farmer who sows the seeds 1 month and waits 6 months for a harvest. I know about your patience. And, of course, I know of your works, your last works to be greater than your first works." So Jesus commends the pastor. He says, on one end, you are fully baked, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. The first thing I have against you, that you allowed a false prophetess to gain the pulpit. You've allowed this woman who is a self-appointed prophet, not a God-appointed, but a self-appointed prophetess, and she lies. In fact, I, the Lord Jesus, have nicknamed her Jezebel as a clear reminder that she is the mirror image of the Jezebel of 1 Kings 16 and 21, the Jezebel who twisted King Ahab's heart, and as a result, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. The second thing you've allowed her to do, you've allowed her to teach. You have allowed her to teach. The third thing you've allowed her to do is to seduce my servants. You've allowed her to trick them. So one, you have allowed her to gain prominence in the church. You've allowed her to promote the lie that she is sent of God, that the word of the Lord is in her mouth. She's not a prophetess. She has no business teaching. You should have never allowed her to teach a class. And in addition to that, you've allowed her to go so far that she has seduced my servants. She has bewitched them. She has tricked them into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. These are the things I hold against you, Pastor. Now, again, when it comes to your love and when it comes to your service and when it comes to your work ethic and when it comes to your faith in God, that is fine. The other side of the cake, the other side of ministry, you have failed miserably. You have not defended my flock against this spiritual predator. As a feeding shepherd, A+. As a protecting shepherd, F. You failed. And you failed miserably. So, looking at today, how do we know that the church is mixed? How do we know? How do we know? Because, again, remember, our main text is Hosea 7:8, which says this: Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. How do we know that the church of Thyatira is mixed? Well, it's easy to tell. From verses 20 through 25, or 24, we have three separate groups. Let's break it down. First group, in verse 20, notice, let's go back to verse 20. There's a group called the servants of Christ. The servants of Christ. So, it says, this woman calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants. The servants here referred to are the followers of Christ. That's group number one, the followers of Christ, who have been what? The followers of Christ who have allowed themselves to be seduced. The followers of Christ who have allowed themselves to drink the proverbial Kool-Aid. Remember Jim Jones and getting all those people to kill themselves? He had them drink the Kool-Aid. Well, whatever Kool-Aid Jezebel was serving up, these servants of Christ drank it. For in drinking it, they followed her recommendation, which was what? Pornea, that's where we get the word pornography, to engage in fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, it's the same thing. This harkens back to what Aaron did. Remember, when Aaron led the people astray, when the people came to him with their petition, make us gods, instead of rebuking the people, Aaron says, okay, help me make the gods. Give me your gold earrings. I'm going to make you a god of gold. And then after that, after he made the god of gold, the people rose up to play, and that's a euphemism for the people committed fornication. The people threw off their clothes. The people threw off restraint, and it was just a sexual orgy. When Moses came down from the mountain, that's what he saw with his holy eyes, a sexual orgy going on. The people rose up to play, which is exactly the same language here that Jezebel, under her instruction, under her teaching, she seduced God's servants to what? To rise up and play, to commit fornication. Also, if you remember, Aaron celebrated a feast, and he offered sacrifices. Well, whenever sacrifices were offered, the worshipers had to eat a portion of the sacrifice. Since Aaron had made a golden calf, that sacrifice to that calf was not a sacrifice to God. It was a sacrifice to an idol. And it's exactly the same thing being played out here. You see, it's, my brothers and sisters, it's the same broken record, if you will. It's the same recurring sin. Not only did Adam do it, but then we saw Solomon did it. Not only did Solomon do it, but then Jeroboam did it. Mixture. Whenever you mix truth with error, whenever you mix the doctrines of God with the doctrines of Satan, this is what you have. You have mixture. So the first group are the believers in Christ who allowed themselves to be duped. The gullible ones, the ones who didn't read their Bibles, the ones who didn't pay attention when sermons were being taught and when teachings were being taught. They were easily bamboozled, easily seduced, allowed the prophetess to con them. She conned them into polluting themselves by committing sexually immoral acts and eating things sacrificed to idols, which is another way of saying being sacrificed to demons. Now, the second group is this group. It says the second group is found in verse number 23. Referring to Jezebel, let's read verse 21. It says in verse 21, and I gave her, Jezebel, time to repent of her fornication. But she has persisted in fornicating and has not repented. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed. This is a bed of sickness. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Again, that's group number one. The group that commits adultery with her are those who are being taught to depart from Christ, a spiritual adultery, because we Christians are the bride of Christ, and whenever you depart from Christ, you're committing spiritual adultery. So, behold, I will cast her, Jezebel, into a bed of affliction, and them, those Christians that have been seduced, that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. That's still group number one. Group number one is being called by God to repent. Now, here's group number two in verse 23. Jesus says, I will kill Jezebel's children with death. Now notice, he does not give Jezebel's children an opportunity to repent, because they're not saved. They're not his. Interlopers. They are imported disciples. They were never of the church. When Jezebel was allowed to come in, she brought her spiritual entourage. When the pastor allowed Jezebel to come in, she came in with a huge mixed multitude. Remember last week we talked about the mixed multitude? Well, these are her children. They're not the children of God. They're children of apostasy. They're children of error. They are children of darkness. Their job is to help Jezebel pollute the children of God. These are Satan's children. Her children are Satan's children. So there's two groups here. You have the people of God. You have the servants of Christ who have allowed themselves to be tricked into this immoral behavior, satanic ritual, if you will. And then you have Jezebel's children who assist her in polluting the people of God because they help promote her teaching. So Jesus says, I will kill her children with death. I'm going to kill them. So that's the mixed group. Those are the ones that came in with Jezebel that will help her turn the place into a house of sin. All this happened, just like it happened with Aaron. Aaron opened the door. When the people came to him with their request, Aaron should have slammed the door in their faces and said no to that. The same thing with Solomon. He opened the door to his strange wives, and when he opened the door to the strange wives, who else came in? Their strange gods, their strange doctrines, their strange practices, strange and prohibited by God. The same thing with Jeroboam. God said to Jeroboam, if you do that which is right, you're an Israelite. You're a follower of the word of God. If you do that which is right, I will do for you what I did for David. What did Jeroboam do? The word of God went in one ear and out the other, and he went and he did his own thing, and he fashioned two golden calves. Again, who opens the door to this stuff? The pastors, the leaders do. And then it's not just the leader, but the leader has helpers. In this case, Jezebel has her spiritual children, her devotees, her imported disciples. Remember, when Jezebel married Ahab, Jezebel came from the country of Tyre and Sidon. She was Phoenician. She was Syrophoenician. The two main cities of Phoenicia were Tyre and Sidon, port cities. She came from those port cities with her gods, and this is why the prophet Elijah says Baal has 450 prophets and Ashtaroth has 400 prophets, a total of 850 total. Who came? Where did those prophets of Baal and prophets of Ashtaroth come from? Well, Jezebel brought them with her. And they spread the error throughout all Israel. The doctrinal error was spread. So there's Jezebel's children. They come along to help her leaven the church. And thank God Jesus stepped in, because the pastor wasn't going to do anything about it. The pastor was going to continue to show his love and his faith and his patience and his works, his last to be more than the first. And all that is well and done. But you have to protect the people of God from falsehood. All that other stuff is good. But if you fail, it's like fattening up the sheep, and then when the wolf comes, says to the wolf, okay, I fatten them up for you, have at it. What kind of a shepherd is that who does marvelous things for the sheep, and the sheep are happy, and the sheep are content, and they're fully fed and fully cared for, and then the shepherd says, okay, sheep, we're letting the wolves in with their associates. Aesop, in one of his fables, talks about a farmer. There was once a pregnant she-wolf, a wolfette, pregnant. She was pregnant. And this pregnant wolf came and approached a farmer and said to him, farmer, would you have mercy on me? And the farmer says, well, what can I do for you? She says, well, I'm about to give birth to my litter, but winter's coming in, and I'm afraid that without a den, I can't find a den. Without a den, when I give birth to this litter, my children will just die from the cold. My wolf pups will just die. Could I just get a little corner in your barn? Can I just find a little place, a little section of your barn, just so that I can have my wolf pups in peace and quiet? And I promise that in a week, we'll be gone. Please, Mr. Farmer, please, would you allow me? And he said, okay. So the first week goes by, and she says, well, Mr. Farmer, the wolf pups have not opened their eyes yet, so I can travel, but they can't travel. Could you give me another week? And another week turned into a full month. And then the farmer comes, and he says, well, Mrs. Wolf, when are you going to be leaving? Well, you know, I wanted to leave. We've been here a full month, but you know, the babies, the wolf pups, they become friends with the horse and the cow, and they've made so many new friends here in the barn. Would you allow us another month until I can start talking to them and preparing them to leave? And you know the story. This went on for months. Every month, the Wolfette had a different excuse as to why her and her pups would stay. So one day, the farmer says to his wife, "I've had enough. The she-wolf is leaving with her pups." Well, he grabs his gun and he goes to the barn, and he approaches the mom and he says, "Okay, this is it. You got to leave. I really need this barn. You and your six pups have taken over." And she says to the farmer, "We're not leaving." And now the farmer doesn't even realize it, but he's surrounded by seven wolves. They're no longer wolf pups. They're mature wolves. He's surrounded. He can shoot mama, but the other six wolf pups, which are no longer wolf pups, they will tear him apart. So she says, "We own this barn now. You skedaddle. You get out of here. We're going to let you leave with your life. We're going to be merciful to you because you were merciful to us. But don't you come in here again. We own this barn. This is ours. Get out of here before I change my mind." You see, my brothers and sisters, that's what's happening here in Revelation chapter 2 with the church of Thyatira. Jesus has to step in and clean house. Now, there's a third group. Now, remember, there's one group of believers that got seduced. They allowed themselves to be bamboozled. They allowed themselves to be tricked and conned and led astray. And then, of course, that second group is Jezebel's associate ministers who came in with her, her children, her disciples, who helped her spread her garbage. But then there's this third group. It's found in verse 34. "But unto you I say," or let's read verse 23. Let's read 23 and pick it up. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I, Jesus, and he who search the reins and the hearts." In other words, I scrutinize thoroughly. Remember, he's the one with the eyes like unto a flame of fire. "I will search the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every man according to his works." He's got the feet of brass. He can judge. He can stamp out sin. "You, I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine," in other words, as many as have not allowed themselves to be bamboozled, as many as have not embraced the teachings of Jezebel, I say to that group, I say to that pure remnant group, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, upon you I place no other burden. But hold fast. Jesus is speaking to this third group. He says, to those of you who kept yourselves pure and were not seduced and were not conned and wouldn't buy what Jezebel was saying and were not tricked by her for one second, to you I say, hold on, hold fast to what you have until I come. So you see, who allows mixture. How does he allow mixture? You allow Jezebel. Jezebel is a disease. Jezebel is a plague. She brings death. Wherever Jezebel, you just read the Old Testament. You read from 1 Kings chapter 16 to 1 Kings 21. You read that and tell me if that woman was in bad news. And then go to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings 9 and read about Jezebel. The woman was bad news. So this New Testament Jezebel is like the Old Testament Jezebel. Wherever she goes, there's death. She persecutes the people of God. She persecutes God's teachers and preachers. And she leavens those who are gullible. So, a half-baked. How is it half-baked? Well, you got some believers who are holding fast to the truth. Those are the ones that are baked. But the other ones, the ones that got bamboozled and seduced and conned and tricked and bewitched, those are the ones who are not baked. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us. We ask you to keep us spiritually sensitive to these truths. How important it is for a pastor to be everything a pastor needs to be. For a pastor to be six things out of the nine things that he needs to be is not good enough. He needs to be nine out of nine. Pastors today, Lord, just want to love people. But that's not good enough. Sometimes we have to love those who need love, and then we need to do battle against those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. We can't love everyone if we're going to protect the flock. We can't cozy up to everyone if we're going to protect the flock. Some who are in the flock are not really sheep. They're wolves. And we better get them while they are young, because if they grow up and if they gain strength, then they will say to us, like they said to the farmer, this barn is ours. We own it. You better hightail it out of here before we change our minds. God bless us. Give us discernment. And give us the courage to confront a Jezebel or an Ahab as soon as they appear. May we never give them entrance. May we never give them access to the flock, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. God bless you. Have a great weekend, or have a great Friday night and Saturday. I will see you Sunday at church. May the Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you and yours. Until we meet again here on Manna from Heaven, God bless.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. The precious blood.